Many people see religion as just something you do when it's convenient. They'll attend church when there's nothing particularly important going on, at least in their lives. They may select a church because it's close to where they live, or because of the events that are going on at that church, or if there's children there that my kids can play with, then that's the church we go to. But what does Jesus ask of us? What do we actually see? See, Jesus tells us that being a Christian isn't always easy. We were talking about in our class this morning in Proverbs that, you know, the righteous take blows, but they get back up, which means there are going to be difficult times in life. Jesus told his disciples that they were going to face hardships as they taught the gospel. In Matthew chapter 10 is when he sends out the 12 on a commission. And in Matthew chapter 10, and starting with verse 28, Matthew 10, 28, it says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows." Notice how often he's telling his apostles, the ones that are going to teach his word, don't be afraid. Well, why? Because there are going to be people who will oppose you. Instead, they're told in verse 32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You have to stand up and proclaim Christ. If you're going to reach heaven, you have to do this. We have to be bold. Now you have to think about this and understand, these are people who are going to change the way of life for basically the rest of the world. Judaism has been entrenched for 1,500 years or more by this time. Plus, they're going to go out and teach against those who are involved in idolatry of various sorts. That's been around for centuries, millenniums. They're going to be facing people who are going to oppose them. But these apostles are going to have to face down their own families. The very next verse, in verse 34, says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household." That's difficult, to take a position, to teach a doctrine that's totally against what your parents taught you, what your brother may or your sister might see, and stand for Christ. And so he tells them in verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who lost his life for my sake will find it." Even despite all the opposition, both from without and from within, Jesus tells him, "Take up your cross and follow after me." Later on, Jesus foretells his death in Matthew chapter 16. He gets the disciples prepared. "I'm going to die. In Matthew 16 and verse 21, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. It shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Peter absolutely refused to believe that this could be possible. The Messiah, the one they've been waiting for all these years, the one that they gave up everything to follow. He's saying he's going to die. He's saying he's going to suffer. And so he tells again his disciples in verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you're going to follow Christ, you have to take up your cross and follow him. The apostles would not have been happy with the fact that their mentor, their God, has just told them that he is going to die. Life is going to become miserable if that happens. But Jesus' answer is, take up your cross and follow me. After a confrontation with the Pharisees in Luke chapter 14, which was our scripture reading, Luke chapter 14, there's a number of passages, a number of parables were told about the Pharisees and how they were wrong in what they taught. But in Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 25, it says, now a large crowds were going along with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It's not just the apostles. He's telling everyone, you have to put me before family. In verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's that idea again. You have to take up the cross. Life as a Christian is not promised to be happiness. There are plenty of things that cause joy. But there are also things that are going to cause misery. In fact, the next verse, in verse 28, says, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man has begun to build and was not able to finish. Sometimes we're such in a rush to get people to become Christians and we want to see them baptized. We sometimes forget that we need to talk to them about the commitment that's required. There is a hardship involved. There is a difficulty because there are going to be people who oppose you. And sadly, too many start down the road of heading towards heaven and give up because of the cost. because of the hardships. They don't get back up on their feet. They collapse under it. That's why he says, you know, if you're going to start something, you need to think about what's going to cost you to the end. Because that's the commitment you're signing up for. But then he turns around and gives another illustration as well. He says, or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. The other thing we got to also think about is, what does it cost not to be a Christian? What's the value that's going to cost me if I try to oppose God? Because God's stronger and he's going to win. See, the level of commitment for all disciples, not just as apostles, is large. Way too many people approach religion with the question, what's in it for me? And it's the wrong question. I can tell you what's in it for you. Persecutions, hardships, difficulties, family that doesn't understand, pressures to do things that you know you shouldn't do, battles for the rest of your life. But there's also joy. There's fun. There's doing good for other people. There's a hope of heaven waiting at the end. But people won't follow a way of life unless it promises them benefits right now. And there are benefits to being a Christian. And in some ways, life is a lot easier being a Christian. But nowhere do you find in the scriptures a promise of an easy life. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's an interesting thing to think about. If you read through your Old Testament, look at how the prophets were treated. Think about how Jeremiah was received. Every time he brought up news from God, they made his life miserable. That's what they did to the prophets. That's what they're going to do to us. In John chapter 16. John chapter 16 verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. When Jesus talks about taking up his cross, the cross was the most gruesome form of death that the world had come up with to that point. Those crucified were made to carry the crossbeam of their own cross to the place where they would be crucified. In other words, to take up your cross is to go where you don't want to go. And do what you don't want to do. Paul wanted the Philippians to be shining examples in the world around them. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, Children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that when the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Paul said he was willing to give up his life for the gospel's sake and for his brethren's sake. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, he mentions the fact that he knows that he's going to be released from the prison that he's in currently. Verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, "For this I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope, I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, either by life or by death." Paul says it doesn't matter whether I live or die, I'm going to exalt Christ. And I'm going to set the example. Paul had a love for the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 8, "But having so fond an affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us." Can you think about what kind of love Paul had for the Philippians? "I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to set the example, even if it costs me my life." He tells the Thessalonians that just down the road from Philippi, "You're so dear to me, I'm willing to die for you." But far south to them is the Corinthians. You know, they had a whole letter about all the things that they had done wrong. Yet look at what Paul says about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. "I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less?" Paul was willing to give everything for the brethren. That doesn't mean that all of it was fun. Paul talks about his difficulties in life, the trials. And you read about, you know, his first missionary journey. He goes from one town to another, being chased by the Jews, being stoned, being thrown out of town, being arrested. But he was willing to do all of that for Christ. But then Jesus did set that example. You know, Jesus didn't look forward to the cross. Even though he knew it was needed and the good that was going to result from it, he still didn't look forward to it. Take a look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 27. "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour." Jesus came knowing he was have to die a gruesome, horrible death. And he came anyway. He knew he was going to suffer, and that to the extreme. But he knew that was his duty. You know, in spite of the dread, Jesus went voluntarily. That song we sang about 10,000 angels, that emphasizes that. He could have called it all off. He had the power and the right to do so. But he loved us. And we are to follow his example. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 21. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return while suffering. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, and now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the level of commitment that Christ is asking from each one of us. Not a half-hearted, well, I got other things to do this afternoon. Well, I would go to church, but it's just too far. Oh, you know what? I'm just kind of tired tonight, today. I'm just going to stay home. That's not what God wants from us. Christianity is not about me. It's about serving God. It's serving my fellow man. We talked about Paul. Willing, he said, to die for the brethren. Some of them weren't all that good of people. But look what John says in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's not that we're searching out problems. Rather, we understand that when we make a stand for Christ, problems are going to find us. Just because of who we are and what we stand for. The thing that we need to look at and address and look at it in our lives, am I willing to take up my cross and follow Christ? Not when it's convenient and everything's light and easy, and am I willing to follow him carrying something I don't want to carry and going where I don't want to go, knowing that it may cost my life? That's the example Christ left for us. And that's what he asked of each of us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.